Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Hey there! Do you like films? Do you like wrestling from the 2000s? Do you want to see a film about wrestling from the 2000s? Well, WrestleTalk are hosting a special screening of Ready to Rumble for its 19th anniversary at the Prince Charles Cinema in Leicester Square on May 7th, 2019.
Wrestling's fake.
Wrestling's not fake!
Myself, Ollie Davis, Luke Owen, Laurie Blake, Randy Andy Datsun, Pete Quinnell, and maybe a few other surprises will be in attendance for a meet and greet before the film.
And then stick around after the screening for a special Wrestle Ramble podcast recording where we'll talk in depth about David Arquette winning the WCW Championship to promote the film and what it did for the wrestling industry.
Would that be raw sewage I'm smelling?
They kind of always liked that smell.
If you've not seen Ready to Rumble before, come see the sports entertainment epic The Detroit News Said manages to insult not only pro wrestlers, but also their fans.
Brittany, let's go out again. We'll talk about me and you.
Dude, you're in there.
The Matt-based masterpiece the New York Post called a toilet humor farce proud of its own crudeness.
Your sister shot her first perp today.
That's nice, Gabby.
And if that doesn't tempt you, the Orlando Sentinel said of this barn burner brilliance, yes, film fans, there is a new worst movie of all time.
Any match, any time.
The Steel Cage.
Steel Cage wins.
So come see...
Shut up, Randy!
You're not part of this!
So come see Ready to Rumble at the Prince Charles Cinema on May 7th with your friends at WrestleTalk. Tickets are available now.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello, you're watching Screen Stalker. I'm El Fagan and Laurie Blake. This is Ollie freaking Davis, and we're here to discuss Avengers Endgame.
Yeah.
How was it? Was it the revelatory experience that you thought it would be?
It was...
Earth-shattering, body-shaking, orgasmic nerd event of the year.
Orgasm's the key word here. I said after we'd seen the film, I didn't know it, but I have actually been engaged in a tantric dance with Kevin Feige for over 10 years. Mm. And all the time I think, well, it can't get any better. I had high expectations for this movie. And then there's a moment, we'll get into the spoiler zone in a second. There's a moment in this film where it's the closest I've come to sexual gratification without engaged in the act.
Yeah, there was a bit, I was just subtly vibrating in the cinema. Just,
I developed an excited tic I didn't know I had. Yeah. I started doing this just for comfort. I was like,
give me the goodness.
But should we get into spoiler stuff? Because yes, it's a difficult film to talk about.
Yeah.
Without ruining everything.
Well, yeah, because I think mostly because it feels like quite a swerve. It starts off it goes in a direction.
So spoilers.
From now, spoilers. So if you really don't want to know, why have you clicked a review that's come out a day afterwards? But also, go away, because we're going to spoil it now.
Hard. We're going to spoil it so hard. Do you know what? One guy in coming out of the cinema screamed the end of the movie at us all queuing up.
What a bummer.
There's a special place in hell for him. But anyway, we won't. You have a warning, so proceed.
So I think actually, like the major spoiler in the opening of this film is that a lot of the marketing material we've seen is like the first 5 minutes of the film. Like all of this stuff gets out of the way incredibly quickly. And then like the suits come later, sure. But the majority of the sort of let's go in the spaceship and go and find Thanos, blah, 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 blah. That's all out of the way incredibly quickly. And that is not the plan. Like everyone was like, that's the plan will be go fight Thanos, get the Infinity Stones back. It's not at all.
Well, that was a plan.
Yeah. That was a plan. Yeah. It didn't work at all because Thanos had used the Infinity Stones to destroy the Infinity Stones and was almost dead in the process. What an amazing bleak opening, like the last ounce of hope they just ripped away from people and then went, okay, well now we're going to spend about 45 minutes of this like blockbuster movie that you've all wanted to see for a year now just wallowing, like people just having a rubbish time. It's so good.
It's a fascinating structure. The Russos spoke about it when they did Civil War. They were like, we wanted to change up how films are usually structured. You got the beginning, the middle, and the end to have like a character arc. But they were like, we're going to approach that in a style of tone. So the first hour is going to be sort of serious setup. The middle hour of Civil War was that just all-out comedy, almost like slapstick performance stuff. And the last hour is your action. And that's... I was like, I'd check, because I do this anyway. I like to know where we are in the structure of a story. Every time I was like, well, that seems like the close of chapter one. Bang on an hour.
Yeah.
So bang on an hour is when they go into the time travel bit. So all that
the time heist.
Yeah, the time heist. All what the stuff before then was, wallowing and just bleakness. And it has been so, it's been five, we start just 20 days after, I think. Around 20 days after the snap.
I think it's 23, 24 mark.
And then they don't defeat Thanos. Well, they do. They Thor chops off his head.
It's the least cathartic killing of Thanos you could ever imagine. He's already he defeated himself by achieving his goal. He was like, I'm done. This, I'm damaged. He didn't really care that they were going to kill him. He was like, this is fine. I knew this was going to happen. I've achieved what I wanted to achieve.
I am inevitable.
Yeah.
And Thor, in this beautiful character moment, which sets up his arc for the film, is just... Because it's he was the one who failed.
Yeah, he's
he
the one
didn't go for the head. So he, corrects that mistake rather late and chops off Thanos' head right away.
And what they say, what did you do? And he went, I went for the head.
Yeah. It's there are so many callbacks to Infinity War. Like, watching those two films as a double bill would... I mean, that's almost still shorter than WrestleMania.
Yeah,
but it's a big undertaking. Yeah. And then that sets up Thor as this crisis of confidence Thor, who never really recovers.
No.
He becomes fat Thor, out of shape Thor, no abs, big gut, big beard, cries a lot because of he feels like he was the one who failed. And I feel that that's totally okay.
And he knew he was the most, and he thought he was the most powerful Avenger and stuff like that. Yeah.
And it's totally okay because he had all the power stuff in Infinity War. So I'm not there going like, oh man, I want some cool Thor now because I had all that in the last film.
Absolutely, yeah. I loved. I think probably my favorite scene is the opening scene
with Hawkeye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I love the fact that it's. I think we had at the end of Infinity War this beautiful, punchy like. Brave moment of filmmaking where they just went, okay, well, it's going to end on a massive downer. Like, it's going to be the biggest bummer of all time. And it was brilliant. And then this opens the opposite way. There's no, like, there's not as much dramatic music. No one gets final lines. No one gets anything. You just see someone who's not involved and not in a city. So he's not seeing hundreds of people disappearing at once. He doesn't even know what's going on. And it's just this amazing... moment of him, like his family just disappear while he keeps turning his back, unfortunately, and watching him reel. And it sets him up so well as well for the film, and like his emotional arc throughout the whole thing, it's really incredible.
Yeah, there's that moment of dramatic irony where he's like, he can't find his daughter because she's walked off somewhere. But well, that's what he thinks. But we all know she's just gone.
Yeah.
And then he starts, and it sets him up as, is it Ronin?
He doesn't become Ronin, but yeah, he wears the Ronin suit. He doesn't call himself Ronin. Yeah. He
kills a lot of people.
Yeah. But this is his, like, that's his way of dealing with it, because he's killing all the bad people that didn't get dusted and being like, well, my family got dusted and they were good people, so why do you deserve to live at all?
And the Russos are such economical filmmakers, because they have one shot in that opening bit, which is just, you see Hawkeye's ankle and he's got the little
tag on.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, okay, yeah, that's where he is. I'm already back in this universe where everyone is.
Yeah.
But then, like, yes.
He's still under the registration scheme.
Yes.
From Civil War. Mm. So that's why he's not involved in Infinity War.
And then, so this first hour is Tony getting rescued by Captain Marvel. So I love the film unequivocally. I really enjoyed Captain Marvel as well, particularly the final third.
Mm.
But when was she? I thought we were going to get a few more scenes of Captain Marvel explaining to the Avengers who she is.
Yeah, I feel like they just sort of glossed that. I also feel like there was too little of her. Like she was so. I mean, it's one of those things where she's obviously a power play, isn't she? Because she's, like, so strong. Yeah. They were just like, you have to keep her out of the film, because otherwise it would be solved. Like, none of the time heist stuff would have worked if Captain Marvel had gone to any of them and just gone, there you are. Yeah. Yeah. I've got that for you now. There you go. Yeah. She was great, but I just felt like she just had that unfortunate role of turning up in the nick. She was just serendipity the whole time. It was just like, oh, she just happens to be here. And yeah, she happens to be here at the end. She happens to be here,
Yeah, a sonic screwdriver approach.
She was,
yeah. How are we going to get out of this unescapable situation? Sonic screwdriver. Well, how does that work? It's opening the door.
Best not to ask.
Yeah. But she was cool. It was a shame that she didn't get a chance to interplay with the other characters.
Yes.
Because I feel like that was quite fundamental, and it almost confused me as a viewer.
And the most interaction she got was with Peter Parker. Yeah. In that little bit where she just turns up and he's like, "Hi, I'm Peter Parker," and she's like, oh, "Hi, Peter Parker." Like,
yeah. But then you set up this torn down world and how some people have moved on. Like Tony has,
yes,
you know, he's got this really lovely little girl that Pepper
had. He's super lucked out, Tony. Yeah,
yeah, but he's still consumed by that guilt of letting Peter die. When he gets off of the plane at the start after being rescued by Captain Marvel, and he goes straight to Captain America, and he's just like, I lost a kid.
Yeah.
And I was looking at that shot, and I was like, well, you are definitely the older gentleman here in facial features, but it's almost Tony talking to Cap as a father. Like, that relationship, Cap is his father.
He's always trying to get the
sort of acceptance from him, which he has, but it's weirdly not enough.
Yeah.
And then Cap and Iron Man fall out again, and then they have to get back together. And then we enter the second part of the movie, which is, again, a perfect hour right in the middle, which is a love letter to all the MCU so far.
Yes. The time heist bit is so good. And that kicks off. That is actually where the first action scene comes, because it starts on the Ronin bit where they replay almost the original opening Avengers Assemble kind of stuff, where it's like Black Widow's on a mission. This guy's on a mission. We've got to go get the Hulk. We've got to go do this thing.
Yeah.
And they go through and they pick everyone up again. And it's all in this broken down universe. So everyone is a slight twist on who they were before. The Hulk is now both the Hulk and Bruce Banner at the same time, which is why he's not been in any of the marketing materials.
Yeah.
And he's now this sort of like dude, basically.
Yeah, he's not as big as the Hulk, but he is green and he has more Mark Ruffalo features, but he can talk. He just talks like Mark Ruffalo, well, like Bruce.
Yes, yeah. Thor's fat, but has founded a new Asgard in Scotland.
So good.
Which is an amazing scene. He's like the dude now.
Yeah, totally.
It's incredible. And then Hawkeye has gone completely rogue, and he's gone off the rocker in a way that Black Widow especially would be very kind of hurt by.
Mm.
And like, you know, I was expecting it for the whole time to say, I've got red in my ledger at some point, and it just never happened. But it's like, you know, that's hanging over her, that she always feels indebted to Clint specifically.
Mm.
And also because this turn for him is kind of what she was doing before when he saved her. yeah, and recruited her into the Avengers, and she turned into, like, from a Russian spy to a US agent.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm sensing Hawkeye was your favourite character.
I love Hawkeye. I think he's great. I love him because
in
he's...
In this movie, though.
Yeah.
Definitely the best treatment of Hawkeye in the MCU.
I love Hawkeye because he's just a dude. Mm. Like, he's not like... there's
dude good at shooting.
He's just a dude who's good at shooting. Like, and but he... So, in Age of Ultron, I really liked him as well because it's just... His like little sides, and he was always a back sort of, he was a sort of background character to a degree in those films. But he always had the best take on it because he was just like, "This is nuts! This is insane!" And he's actually having, I think, the most grounded response almost of everyone here. You know, Cap's off lying to people in these meetings where he's saying we all have to move on, and he's still clutching. Yeah. You know, he's still holding on to his past. Tony's moved on and pretending like 50% of the population didn't die because he's got a perfect little nuclear family still. Like, Hawkeye's the only one being like, I'm a raw nerve because I lost everything.
A little bit touchy.
I'm the only one trying to do what I think is right, even though I know it's wrong. Like, I'm trying to do something that's reaching towards good. And, like, obviously, Natasha's doing it too, but in a sort of they're doing the opposite ends of that spectrum.
Yeah.
As the two human characters. And it's also interesting then that they go on in the time heist section to have the most fundamental human choice to make in the Soul Stone, in retrieving the Soul Stone from Vormir. Like, someone just has to choose to sacrifice themselves. And it's not, that's the most heroic moment in the time heist bit.
Yeah.
And it falls to the least powered people.
Mm.
Which,
yeah, because you've got, of all the time heists, which is, like I said, this journey through these wonderful MCU moments in the past, and you get every character. Like, seeing the Ancient One in the New York battle, and she was helping out as well. That was awesome.
The New York battle was amazing.
But like that, the New York battle was almost played up for laughs, and also a bit of exposition to how the timelines will work, that you have to return all the Infinity Stones to the time at the end so you don't get any weird paradoxes.
Yeah.
Although, I'm going to argue, they didn't successfully do that because of Loki. But then, yeah, you've got the dramatic part of Widow and Hawkeye, and then the sort of setup part of War Machine and Nebula,
mm-hmm.
which is that Nebula's. God, this is confusing to explain. I mean, you've already seen the movie, so I'm not going to do a...
Well, Nebula ends up sharing her memories because she's on the same network, basically.
Yes,
so she ends up, when she comes back to the same time that she already exists
in... Needs a VPN.
She updates to the cloud.
Yeah.
And then the other self downloads it from the cloud.
Yeah, that's how it
And
works.
She ends up sharing all of her memories. So both Nebulas know of the existence of the other Nebula and all the memories.
And presumably intimate pictures, if there are any.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's what happens usually. The fappening in the Marvel
Cinematic
Universe.
Yeah, that's what I was about
to
see. God.
But
there's a lot of off-color vaginas.
So, is that? So that middle part is the time travel, the time heist. Sorry, through all the old parts,
which gives you some like really brilliant. I would have almost liked that to have been structured more around like. And I know it's not the way the film particularly worked, but. New York had three stones in it at once, right? Mm. So they went to the Battle of New York and relived that first Avengers film. And then it was Thor the Dark World, where the Ether is
everyone's favorite Natalie Marvel
Portman.
Movie.
Yeah, which was a really nice moment for Thor, I think, and a really good character moment because he's obviously actually had, before Infinity War, he'd had the most grief of any Marvel character. Mm. Like his dad died, his brother died, his mum died.
Yeah, like recent grief.
Yeah, really recent. You know, like in Ragnarok, Odin died. In Dark World, his mum died. At the beginning
killed
of Infinity War. Yeah, like there's so much grief for him. So to have a moment in which he just meets his mother again and has this like... And obviously they did that sort of moment for those three main Avengers like Thor, Iron Man and Cap all got a visit to the past moment.
Yeah,
for
Cap
themselves.
With...
Peggy
and
Tony
met
his dad.
Howard. Yeah, so that was all very nice. I mean, I did enjoy the Thor and his mother part, but when I'm thinking of classic Thor relationships, I'm thinking of Loki and Odin.
Yes.
Like his mother was a very underserved character that was just used as kind of a plot device, really.
Yes, yeah.
So, and I felt like the only person missing from the film, because everyone was in it from the past, was Odin.
Yes.
And a talk there, or a talk with Loki. He does walk past Loki at one point.
Yeah.
Would have been, I think, better, but I see why they did it with the mother.
Yeah, I think the thing is with Odin is like their sort of interpretation of Odin is he's almost timeless. Like he's decided to die.
Yeah.
So he just won't come back. Like, but then if he wants to come back, he probably would. Like he sort of just exists in this weird place.
So speaking of Loki,
this is my
bit.
Oh, go
so,
on.
Of the middle part, it's, you know, they get all the Infinity Stones and they come back and fake Nebula.
So many good scenes.
Fake Nebula. Yeah, so many great comedic scenes. It's even though the first hour's rough going, it's very funny still.
It is very funny.
Yeah, it's
funny,
like that perfect mix of comedy and drama.
Cap versus Cap, I think, is one of my favourite things I've ever seen.
It's America's butt.
It's the bit where he goes... He's like, I can do this all day. He's like, yeah, I know. I know. Like, but I think also it was the... That was obviously an amazing line, but it's his own exasperation when he sees himself on the bridge and he's like, oh, I know what I'm like.
Yeah,
like,
this is me. He just
sees himself and he just goes, oh, for crying out loud. Like,
The quote from that bit that's been doing the rounds in the office all day, Luke will not stop saying it. Too many stairs! From the Hulk running.
He can't get in the
elevator. But in this middle part, all the stones get, you know, eventually taken back. But Loki, through the time traveling, the time heist parts, Loki, after the Battle of New York from the first Avengers movie, when he's meant to be taken to custody and he's eventually taken back to Asgard, this timeline Loki gets the Tesseract. Oh, no, it's the Mind Stone from his staff.
No, he gets the Tesseract.
Was it the Tesseract?
They keep the Mind Stone. So they've got... What's in Cap's briefcase?
Yes, and they have
when he gets in the lift, and they do the callback to the Winter Soldier scene.
That's correct.
Hell, Hydra. And he walked. That got such a big laugh in the cinema from that. Yeah.
Pete clapped and went brilliant. He was sitting next to me. I touched his leg at one point when I got excited. I went like, and he jumped. But anyway, so now we've got a rogue Loki. I know what the Ancient One said. You've got all these time stones. If you put them back, everything will be neat and tidy, which I'm glad she did, because I was having a rough 20 minutes in the middle bit going, just like, but how is it going to...
How's it going to
This
resolve?
Is going to affect things. And...
Ufavu.
it all... Roughly, I'm sure there are holes, because there always is with time travel. But the Loki one seems like a really big setup for him coming back.
But they need to break... But there's going to be a Loki TV series. So there's going to be a Loki TV series with Tom Hiddleston on Disney Plus, right? And he needs to come back from the dead, because he's one of the dead. He's one of the dead that can't come back as well.
He's dead.
Yeah, they were only bringing back the snapped people. They weren't bringing back everyone who had died in the lead up, or like, you know, because Loki just got nixed by Thanos. So yeah,
quite an unceremonious death.
I think that was the point, though. I think that was a really good setting up of the brutality of the film to just be like, oh, you know that favourite character you all have? Yeah, he's gone. Like, nothing.
Well, I've been saying this forever, and now I feel this is the way to do it. How do you get X-Men and Fantastic Four retcon these new Disney properties that they purchased from Fox, which are now all under the Marvel Cinematic Universe umbrella, you would assume, even Deadpool?
Yeah.
How do you retcon all of that continuity dating back to the Bryan Singer 2000 days into the MCU? Because I think people... it's not very narratively satisfying to just go, hey, here's the new X-Men.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they're still making Dark Phoenix and New Mutants and all this nonsense.
I feel like they'll probably keep a lot of those actors as well. There's some salvageable bits, surely.
Yeah.
Some of it's good. Like,
yeah. Surely.
We'll keep Sophie Turner. She's nice. Like,
it's two decades of stuff. Where is it?
Where's Hugh Jackman? He's in here somewhere.
I've always thought the way around that is the Fantastic Four's dimension travel.
Mm-hmm.
But now you've got a different timeline Loki with a Tesseract who... It was the Tesseract, yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows something's up, because he saw Tony next to Tony.
Yes.
He knows what's up. I think he might be the guy, or he could be the guy, to merge these two universes together. So maybe for Phase 4, or at the end of Phase 4.
I just remembered how brilliant the setup is for, like, everything is so well thought out in this film. Because when Loki does he mimics Cap. Cap is walking out of the room, and he goes, "Go downstairs," and it's like, and then that's why Cap thinks Cap is. Oh,
yes,
yeah. You just okay. Yeah.
So,
because I would have just bought it anyway. You would have just been like, would have just been like, "Oh, the only person we know who can turn into other people is Loki." So that's fine. But they were like, "Yeah, it has to go in there."
And he's got the case. And, it's brilliant. But okay, so the final third, which is this last hour, and there hasn't been much action or fighting so far.
It's been a lot of funny bits.
Because it's all here.
Yeah.
It's, they get the, Hulk does the snap, brings everyone back, but...
In an amazing scene as well. Yeah. I love the fact that the snap, the revelation of the snap, again, it's a Hawkeye moment, but also just Scott Lang going to the window and just seeing that there are birds in the tree.
Hearing
and
the
it's
birds,
been completely silent in... It's actually, like, it was quite a sparing film in terms of music as well. Like, and especially in the opening bit, it was very, like... subtle and quiet and almost empty. Like, a lot of the room sounded very empty. And then, to go back and open those, like, blinds in the compound and see that there are birds in the trees, and then Clint's phone's ringing.
Yes. Yeah, I felt when the phone vibrates, like, I felt that here.
Yeah.
I
was, but that's such a brilliant, like, rather than doing this big, like... and that's why I thought the intro scene was so good as well, because it's just that... It was so undramatic in terms of what actually happened. Like, for the regular person's experience of this thing would have been, oh, they're gone. Like, you know, if you weren't in the room and your grandma disappeared, you'd just be like, where's grandma gone?
Yeah.
Like, and that's why there's all the missing posters and there's all this other stuff. And it's like...
It's the help groups.
And then to have people return, like, to know that people have returned without seeing them and just be like... Oh, we did it. Like, but in this really sort of almost undramatic way.
And it sets up when everyone does come back, because you're kind of, you think it's worked.
Yes.
But you haven't got confirmation. It's still just the people in this scene. Mm-hmm. So when the, you know, the big reveal. It's a superhero movie, but really it's a human movie.
Yes.
It's so grounded in just individual characters. But
the final third
is
from the point where Thanos finds out about the plan through Nebula, plants Nebula, who then transports past Thanos to the future to bring his army.
Yeah, current day.
To his current army to bear on the Avengers HQ. Mm-hmm. So it's a complete, also just a complete, like, the finale of all of the Avengers films is the Avengers gets destroyed. To like, it's like we've leveled the whole Marvel universe in this, like, it's a metaphorical leveling of the Marvel universe to go, like, what will come out of the rubble here? And that's kind of how the film, like, from there, it's like, oh, well, fortunately, everyone's fine.
you have initially just three people battling Thanos. It's Iron Man, Cap, and Thor.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's awesome. But it's not until Cap gets Thor's hammer.
Mjolnir,
yeah. Meow. Which, the place erupted. It was like being at a wrestling show.
Well, it's because Thanos is beating on Thor, isn't he? He's got him pinned, and he's, like, pushing Stormbreaker into his chest, and then just.
I thought it was going to Thor's hand.
Yeah, I thought he was summoning it, but no, it just went straight past and then came back into Cap's hand, and Thor just goes, "I knew it."
Yeah. So this again is just brilliantly set up. There's that wonderful scene in Avengers: Age of Ultron, which is the best scene in the movie, where they're all just sitting around after a party, chatting like regular folk, and they're all having a drunken game of who can lift Thor's hammer, and no one can do it. War Machine and Iron Man have got their stuff on, and they're trying to use blasters to get it up. Mm-hmm. But you have to be worthy. That's how you lift the hammer. And Cap goes over to it. He tries, and it starts to wobble. And Thor has this worried expression on his face, but then Cap lets it go and goes, "I can't lift it." And Thor's like, "Ha, yes, good try."
Yeah, because also the worthiness means you're allowed to be the king of Asgard.
Yes,
it's not just being worthy; it's like worthy of being the king of Asgard.
It's like Brexit. So it opens up a whole political nightmare. But for me, Cap getting the hammer now means he always could.
Yes, yeah.
And that means he was picking it up in Age of Ultron.
And he knew it was going.
He knew how that would affect Thor and the team. He's such a lovely guy. He pretended and he let go as if he couldn't pick it up. That is just beautiful. And it's awesome as well because you then get Cap with a shield and a hammer wailing on Thanos.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I mean, I felt sorry for Thanos, but in a perfect way of building up a heel that you want to see get beaten, not a cool heel, I was like, you, every time. I want to see you. I want to see you die. I never feel that about villains.
Well, it's interesting because they turn him. I feel like he was actually fairly sympathetic in Infinity War, like to a degree. He felt like this big threat, but he had some sort of level of reasoning.
Yeah.
And here, the interesting thing is that when he finds out what happened to him and all this other stuff and all the plots to reverse what he's done, even though he knows he's achieved his goals, this is when he gets pissed off and he's like, no, I'm going to destroy everything now. I'm going to wipe this universe out of existence and build something brand new with life that doesn't know what it left behind. Like, he's become malicious now. It's not even about saving the... His plan before was to save the thing that existed. He wants to save existence, so he wipes out 50% of all living beings to be like, now the universe can function. And instead, now he's turned completely towards destroying it. So he is the ultimate bad guy here now. He's gone full heel.
Yeah, full heel. And he even says, because in Infinity War, he almost has regret that he has to beat this great warrior Tony Stark. I hope they erect a statue in your name.
Mm-hmm.
But here, after the battle with Cap, Thor, and Iron Man, he's like, no, I'm gonna enjoy destroying your planet. So this is a full heel turn.
Yeah, yeah.
But then, I mean, should we talk about it now? This was the moment. This was the moment where I just freaked out because you've got all of Cap, Thor, and Iron Man have been battling Thanos. It's reached a bit of a stalemate. Thanos really is getting the most of it. And then all of Thanos's
bros turn up.
Well, so it's not even a stalemate. It's Thanos has beaten down Thor and, Thor and Iron Man out of the game. And Cap's shield is splintered and he's bloody and he's bruised. And he has that, like, this is his final, like, I'm just going to keep getting back up. I can do this all day moment. He just pushes himself to his feet. And it's this amazing wide shot as all of Thanos' army turn up. The Chitauri, the Black Order. Like,
those weird ships.
Those weird ships. They all are encroaching on Cap, who just strides across this tiny little outcrop on his own. The last Avenger standing. The first Avenger and the last Avenger standing to face off against Thanos and his forces. And just as it's about to be like, oh, Cap's going to get mangled.
Yeah. The Doctor Strange yellow portal time things. And
the sling rings.
Yeah, and it's Black Panther and all of Wakanda, really. A portal to Wakanda's been opened and Black Panther walks out with flanked by his two lady people I can't remember the name of. And just the entire
Shuri
army.
And what's her face?
Yeah, and the whole army behind them. And you're like, okay, it's happening. And then he does like the little nod and then loads of circles start to appear. And you get, you know, you get everyone. Doctor Strange comes through. I popped massively for Wong. Yeah. That was the biggest reveal
Doctor
for
Strange,
me.
Wong and all the trainees from the Sorcerers. Yeah.
And you get the Guardians. And just, it was like, I said this to Luke afterwards because we saw it together. I was like, it was like, All of my toys were there.
Yeah.
And I was playing with them. And it was the happiest I've ever been.
It was like a splash panel, wasn't it? It was just like this huge...
Just like Civil War.
Yeah, it's amazing.
But
bigger,
much bigger. I cried from that opening Black Panther bit through to like midway through the battle. I was just so excited and overwhelmed with emotion. And you just think, okay, everyone's there now. All the Avengers from this 10-12 year build. This is long-term storytelling that's unprecedented in cinema. I don't think people, it's easy to forget how lucky we are to be living through this because it's a totally different way of telling stories. Just like when Star Wars first came out and they had a trilogy there. That was an imagine living through that. It's quite fetishized now, but we're living through it now with the Marvel Cinematic Universe. This is just insane what Kevin Feige's managed to put together.
I don't think even the next 10 years of Marvel will be this. We'll never have this cinematic moment ever again on this scale of like people are that invested in this that like, you know, you turn up and you're just like, I feel like my whole like 20s is being displayed on a screen.
Yeah.
And this is like the finale of like everything I've watched for 10 years now. To build 10 years for that moment in which everyone you loved that was taken away from you walks back through a little portal just to stand there. Like, they didn't even have to fight at that point. I was just like, whoa. Like, we could have ended the film there and I would have been like, that's great.
Yeah, I just assume what happened. Yeah. It's fine. But then they took it home and they had to, just before they started and everyone's come through the portals, then Giant Man pops through because then Hulk and Ant-Man and Rocket and War Machine, they're all trapped underneath the Avengers complex when it was destroyed. And he comes out. So it's just like, pure insanity. Massive battle.
Yeah.
Play that on Spidey when he comes back as well and he has a moment with Tony and they just hug. It's beautiful.
Yeah. This is nice.
And then, they have a great battle. There's only one bit that jarred with me. And I get why they did it because, you know, women. And women are very underrepresented in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But it took me out of the movie. You had Spider-Man there, and it was like, how's he going to get the gauntlet they've made through this big battle? Oh, here's Captain Marvel. And then they literally had every female character, even Mantis. And I was like, well, what's Mantis going to do realistically? Yeah. But
put everyone to sleep.
Yeah,
sleep.
I get why they did it because PR. But we criticize WWE for doing like PR women moments
stuff. Yeah,
and I thought this took me out of the movie because I realized what they were doing.
It wasn't as organic as the one in Infinity War, in which that was the sort of like three-on-one showdown between Black Widow, Scarlet Witch, and
the lady we can't remember the name of from Wakanda.
What was her name? Okoye?
Sure.
I think it's Okoye. Yeah.
But that was really good.
That was an amazing moment. And this was that on a much larger scale, but felt a bit like, I was like, Shuri, you've just been dead. And like, she's got the little blasters. And I was like, no, just let Captain Marvel do it. Like, it could have just been, and really it was like, yeah, we'll help her get there. It's like, I feel like she could just do it. I don't know. But
with that criticism aside, Valkyrie on a flying horse.
A Pegasus, yeah.
Is my one of my favorite visuals of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. She looks awesome every time she does it. But yet they, blah, 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 fights.
Yeah.
Tony.
But in the fights, there was just some really good bits that like call back to stuff as well. Like, you know, Scarlet Witch getting her moment with Thanos. Like,
I don't even know who you are.
It's like, that's what Thanos says. Yeah, exactly. And it's just like this whole, like, you know, Scarlet Witch's great love was ripped away from her by Thanos. And like, you know, that moment to be like, you get this time in the sun to be like, here's your revenge. Because she's really powerful as well. Like, she's crazy powerful. So maybe not in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but certainly in the comic books.
Well, she's still evolving. She's still discovering the roots of her powers. Yeah. And
whether or not that's going to be a mutant thing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, is Phase 4 another way you can write? I'm not. Broken record, really. The X-Men and Fantastic Four.
I'm sure they would start doing that. Now.
Is Scarlet Witch having her House of M breakdown moment, and she effectively creates a new reality? And,
yes.
And you've suddenly got loads of mutants.
Maybe
there.
That's the reverse. Maybe it's the reverse of the House of M. Yeah. And then it's just rather than saying no more mutants, she says loads of mutants.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
But that's a ton of mutants. Superheroes. Yeah. Yeah. And that's another Phase 4 thread that they could pick up on.
But I thought that was such a brilliant moment where she's like ripping his armor off and crushing him up. Like,
I liked it when, because he's so cocky all the time. Yeah. When he starts to get beaten up, I'm like, yeah. but it comes down to Thanos has got the gauntlet and he's going to snap the fingers. But Captain Marvel tries her best, but Tony gets it and he puts it on and he clicks the fingers.
Well, so he doesn't put it on. So Captain Marvel grabs his fingers and it's a replay of the shot of Captain America from Infinity War, in which he stops the gauntlet and he's trying to hold the fingers apart and he can't. And she does manage it. And Thanos does the same move. He goes for the headbutt and she just looks at him like, and then he manages to sort of wing her off. There's that moment where Tony looks at Doctor Strange, and Doctor Strange is holding back a flood of some description, isn't he, with his magic, and he just raises one finger. So there was a moment before where Tony said, is this the 1 in 14 million or 140 million chance? And he goes, if I told you how it ends, it wouldn't come to pass. And then Tony looks at him, he just goes, what? And then, Tony runs up, grabs the Infinity Gauntlet, that he made, it's an Iron Man one, and comes away. Thanos throws him away, and Thanos thinks he's won because he's still wearing the gauntlet.
Yes.
And he clicks his fingers, but because it's Stark tech, it just pushed all of it onto his glove. An amazing, like, again, like brains over brawn Iron Man moment. Like, I've already thought about this, mate.
Yeah.
Don't you worry.
I've got backup plans on my backup plans. He, and then Tony does the snap. And, well, he has one last line. It's, I am Iron Man.
Yeah, so Thanos says, I am inevitable. And Tony says, I am Iron Man, which is the line that he says at the end of Iron Man. When they go, oh, you should probably keep this a secret. It should be a secret identity. You shouldn't say anything. And he walks out of the press conference and he goes, I'm Iron Man. And that was such a perfect callback to, like, this. It brings us completely full circle in terms of the MCU, and then there's obviously a later callback at the end of the credits that to Iron Man that brings it even more full circle. But yeah, this is like the finale of this film mirrors the finale of that film.
It's so poetic.
Yeah.
From all the different strands, from a franchise perspective, from a character perspective, because Iron Man was the one that started this.
Mm-hmm.
And Robert Downey Jr. as an actor, like, if you don't have him in that role at that time, it was just a perfect combination of things. Maybe we don't get the MCU. Iron Man was a gamble. The first Avengers was a huge gamble. It paid off, but it was not a sure thing by a long shot. They had the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah,
it wasn't a smooth Phase 1 as it seems in retrospect. living through it. So for Tony to sacrifice himself here and make the... And it is what he always wanted, like, you know, want to put a sheet of armor around the world.
Yeah.
And he effectively has, because in the funeral scene for him that comes afterwards, the camera pans round all these new Avengers that have sort of come up with him. Mm-hmm. And this is his, you know, this is his legacy, really. It was something else.
Yeah, it was a heartbreaking little scene. It was, yeah, really amazing. Like, Pete, again, Tom Holland. Upset Tom Holland is, like, the greatest thing in the MCU, I think. Yeah. Like, his level of vulnerability that he puts across as Peter Parker is just next level. It was, yeah, like, him just being like, Mr. Stark, like, so good.
And I'm really happy that they did it this way, where the time travel doesn't just bring everything back.
No.
To where Infinity War ended. The MCU now is in a place that had Infinity War, had the snap, had the decimation, and then 5 years.
Yeah.
That's so much character growth.
Yeah.
And then
I thought it was a bit tight of Tony to suggest that as a plan. Like, when he was like, well, no, I want everything from 5 years because I've got a baby.
Yeah.
Because there would be other people who didn't have a Pepper.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, there would be people who, after the snap, lost their wife, grieved for 2 whole years, found love, another year, had a baby. So they've got a 2-year-old baby with this woman. Snap.
Oh, yeah, people
snap.
Have actually
old
moved
old wife
on.
Comes back. What?
I didn't
what?
Even think of that.
Yeah, so there's going to be this. There's going to be all these people who's, like, there's going to be mass breakdowns. Like,
there's a
just
lot
from,
of
yeah, there's a lot of baggage to be dealt with here.
Mm. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if they delve into that.
And Tony was just like, well, I just don't want to have my baby again. Because he could have just had it again. He could have just had her again. Yeah. Like,
but love you 3,000.
No, it is it is again a classic bit of sort of. I get they weren't probably going to go too deep on that idea, but I do think it's quite funny that again Tony Stark being Tony Stark's like, well, but I want my thing.
But it's nice to but that leaves plenty of threads that are unravelled to play on in future films.
Yes, yeah. Well, I think that's the thing they've always done brilliantly. The Avengers is like they save the day, but what is the cost and what is the damage? Like the Sokovia thing, like. There's always been one hand in, like people going like, is it necessary for you to be like to do this stuff? Like, did you have to do it this way? I get like you saved the day, you did this, whatever. Was this the only way you could do it? Could you not have thought about it a bit more and done a different thing? Like,
yeah. Like the Battle of New York set up Spider-Man Homecoming with all the tech that came off of it from the salvage missions. But I guess the last thing we'll talk about is the everyone returns to normal life.
Mm-hmm.
And then Captain America goes back to return the Infinity Stones, but he doesn't come back in the way you would expect.
I really had to explain what had happened there this morning to my missus.
Well,
no, she was just like, so when he went into the quantum thing, how did he get over? Like, and I was like, well, he went back in time and he put the Infinity Stones back where he was supposed to put them. And then he went back further because he was from the 1940s and he got buried in the ice and blah, 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 and all this stuff. And then, like, to be like, and then he just turned up on the day and sat on the bench. She's like, what, to get a bus? And I was like, probably, he just got a bus. Like, I don't know.
He's got time.
But I love that as well. Like, you know, that moment was, because I think we all knew he was going to do that.
Luke, to his credit, Luke Owen called this a year ago.
Yeah.
He said, Endgame should end on a shot of Cap and Peggy getting that dance.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's a perfect ending.
It is a perfect ending.
And it's so perfect, it didn't need the post-credits. We almost got a pre-credits with the Hawkeye stuff because Hawkeye happened in that opening scene. Then you got the Marvel role and then we were into the film.
Mm-hmm.
So, for the franchise that brought us the concept of end credits, really, or popularized it, to have no end credits at the end of this was quite...
So, their only thing... was that over the end, the very final, after all the credits had rolled, you just heard this ding, ding, ding sound, which is Tony, you assume, building his heart, basically, that he has worn for the whole, you know, one of the opening 20 minutes of Iron Man.
Yeah.
So, like, it's all completely full circle. And that small moment of smithing crafted this whole universe.
But I guess the only other thing to talk about is Falcon looks like he's going to be Captain America
yes.
now. Which is, you know, that sets up a really nice and long-awaited addition of diversity to the main mm-hmm. Avengers lineup.
Yes, yeah.
So it'd be really cool. And
and it's a comics thing as well. Like, yeah. it is straight out of the comic books. I love that. Like, I like the fact that, like, you know, they have effectively, you know, Tony is dead. They've effectively killed off Captain America as Captain America. Like, maybe Steve Rogers, old man Steve Rogers, becomes Director of S.H.I.E.L.D.
That would be
in like the comics way.
Yeah.
But yeah, Sam Wilson is going to be Captain America now. Thor is off in the other part of the universe, which is the perfect place for him post Ragnarok as well. Like, to be like Thor being in the Asgardians of the galaxy.
That was so funny, that line.
Yeah. But that's that, and that scene as well. Like, but yeah. I love that dynamic between him and Quill. Like, and again, they had that sort of, they have that Cap and Thor relationship, but slightly different. Where,
yeah, well, Cap's very confident in himself, yeah, yeah. but Pete is not.
Yeah,
Peter Quill.
So
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 seems to be
the hunt for Gamora.
The hunt for Gamora with Thor on board,
mm-hmm.
written by James Gunn again.
Yeah.
That I'm so excited for the idea of James Gunn writing Thor. I guess he already did, because James Gunn, I think, wrote and directed those scenes in Infinity War.
They got
all the Guardians bits.
Okay.
So, yeah, that is tremendously exciting. But I guess overall, a 5 out of 5 movie.
Yeah, it is an unbelievable bit of cinema.
I've got to watch it again, but my immediate thoughts are Infinity War is better.
Mm-hmm.
But the highs, the individual high moments of Endgame surpass anything.
I think it's difficult. I think they're difficult to view as two separate films.
Mm.
I think the arc of this story,
yeah,
the acts of this story run across two films. Like,
definitely.
This is the Endgame. This is the final. This is like the very final act. This part, like Act 1 and 2 are Infinity War. Act 3 is Endgame. Plus a bit of downtime, basically.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. Like, I think it's impossible to separate the two, because this wouldn't mean as much without this one. So yeah.
Yeah.
Or without 10 years of watching films. So I don't know.
It's still pretty damn good.
Yeah. Yeah. What a fantastic movie.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.